From 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 9 through 17, you hear these words. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from those desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that they may line you, so that they, though they may line you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when He comes to judge. For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether it is the emperor as supreme, or as of governors who are sent to him to punish those who are doing wrong, and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right, you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Submissive. What does it mean? Let us pray. Now, gracious God, that the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. Last Saturday evening, a football player walked off the field, having played the last series, where the San Francisco 49ers went 80 yards and scored. Thomas Herrion would seem to be invincible, yet sadly, he collapsed at 10:30. And by 11:20, they pronounced him dead. A popular song sung throughout the summer has been entitled, Live Like You're Dying. From one coast to another, from one continent to another, we can name hunger, disease, AIDS, poverty, war. I begin the message this way, not to sadden or to depress you, for each one of us can name these things and much more. I begin and name these things because sometimes we forget our response. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Sometimes the resurrection story can get lost in debate and theological perspectives on all sides of the issues. And yet this reality of resurrection becomes something that is very real because it is very personal. That hymn of Easter morning, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. To study Peter's writing, one of the commentaries described his writing as directed toward Jewish Christians, driven out of Jerusalem and scattered throughout Asia Minor. It is written to all believers everywhere. Think for a moment at the places where they have settled. They are truly strangers in a strange land. And what makes this moment, this writing, even more peculiar is that Peter's message is submit. Submit. Submission, or to be a servant. There are problems here. To begin with, we feel like we submit enough already to an employer, or because of our status and position in life, we feel like we submit enough already. And with all of this forced upon us, we don't know how to submit, because out of this experience there has been nothing but pain. So let's take this meaning to another place and say that in submission, in being a servant, we must believe in Christ. For this is Christ's favorite description, his favorite description of himself, Son of Man. It means suffering servant. That powerful verse, the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It is in believing in Christ to be submissive. It is then being a servant. It is because this is the best response that the people could make in spite of all that they were facing. Because of all that they were facing, it is their best response. Let me share just two examples. The Christians at this time were accused of cannibalism. Cannibalism. It was because they used those words at communion. This is my body. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. They were accused of cannibalism. They were accused of incest and immorality, all because they call their meetings agape, or love feast. What was the best way to deal with this? It was to serve. Not as some kind of person who had no self-worth or no self-esteem, but to serve in such a way that what was said about, or even what was done to them, it was defeated. It was defeated because in the way they lived. The way they lived. We don't say it enough. Do you know the golden rule? Do you know it? Say it with me. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you know what this rule has been changed to in our time? Do it unto them before they can do it to you. Plato, thinking about the slander that was being made in his life, responded, "I will live in such a way that no one will believe what others may say." I will live in such a way that no one will believe what others may say. Jesus said, let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. Sometimes I think about the cross, and I think about Jesus and the nails being driven into his hands, and the crown of thorns being placed upon his head. I think about that, and I think about all that he could have said at that moment. And yet the first words from his mouth were, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. A soldier at the foot of the cross said, truly, this must be the Son of God. This submissiveness is to believe in Christ. It is to be a servant. But then to be submissive is to love. It is always interesting to me that we can identify cruelty when we see it. We know hatred or what it is to be mean when we see it, when we feel it, when it is expressed toward us. We know what it is. But what does love look like? Olga and Ole lived on a farm in Iowa. And Ole was concerned that Olga never expressed his love toward her. Never. And one day she said to him, why don't you tell me that you love me? Olga sat back in his chair and thought about it a moment, and he said, Ole, when I married you, I told you that I loved you. And if anything ever changes, I will let you know. We need to communicate this love. I forgot who it was that said, I love humanity. It's people I can't stand. We need to communicate this love. It will help us to see the best in others. It will help us to see all people as children of God. It will help us. Jean Barron wrote, the world will not know we care. The world will not know we care until they know we care. C.S. Lewis wrote, love us. God loved us not because we are lovable, but because God is love. This submissiveness comes because we love Christ. We believe in Christ. It comes because we are servants of Christ. It comes because we communicate this love. And then it comes because we are free. We are free. I want you to realize that the ruler, the emperor at this time, was Nero. Mean, wicked, it was Nero. But yet Peter says to him, those things that are past, that are good, those things that even a non-believer could follow, for those things I want you to follow and support as well. But for those laws that are unjust, for those laws that go against our understanding of Scripture, for those laws that go against the teachings of Christ, I want you in the community to express that you cannot support them. They could do all of this because they were free. There is something about this freedom. And I can't help but think that we are very much in this place where we need to say, truly, we're free. I didn't know she was going to be here this morning. We had a good visit yesterday, Rosemary, and I'm glad that she's here with us this morning. But I had a good visit with her yesterday at the veterans' home. And as we were talking, I was just amazed. This horn was going off, and I could tell Rose wanted to, could see that I was puzzled by it. And she said to me, there are some times when patients in this beautiful home will still try to leave. The alarm goes off. It must have gone off three or four times just while we were sitting talking. People still longing to be free. This freedom, I think, challenges each of us then not to sit on the fence. Not to sit on the fence, but somehow to really claim the Word of God in our life. And to do that, we have to decide where do we stand? Is Cindy Sheehan right? Or is she wrong in protesting in front of the president's home? Was Pat Robertson right? Or was he wrong in the remarks of the Venezuelan president? I've been reading already that in 2008, the person who has the best chance of winning the presidency, the person with the best chance, is the one who can sit on the fence and not anger either the left or the right. Is this right? Or is it wrong? We have to decide. We have to take what is a stand. And I believe strongly today that with all of the mixture around what we call spirituality, with all of the confusion around what it is we say we believe and what we don't believe, our strongest witness today is not our words, but our strongest witness is our life. And in our life, no time, no room to be sitting on the fence. With our life, we must say, this is what I believe. Submissiveness to believe in Christ. Submissiveness to be a servant, to really love. Submissiveness because we are free. Perhaps it is too much too soon with all of this before us to close the message by saying amen. But I think we can close by saying with all of this, come by here, dear Lord. Come by here. So may it be. It is time now for prayer. Just a moment there. Thank you very much for sharing these. Parker, for bringing them. I wanted to begin with this word of celebration, though. Dean Hughes is with us this morning. Dean had told me I didn't think I would make it for a while, and here he is today. I'm glad to see you this morning. Praise God. We also prayed for Tom Larson this morning, last week, and Tom understood you had gone through some difficulties around your foot after vacation, of all things. And so we're thankful that you're here this morning. Praise God for that. We mentioned Rose just a moment ago that her daughter surprised her. We weren't expecting her you for a while, but she had some time off and she came down and brought Rose to church this morning, and we're thankful also. Amen. Let me share these concerns now that have been brought for us. My brother-in-law, Eugene Kopla, with leukemia. With leukemia has come back. Please pray for him in his time of recovery. Deb, this is your, and it has returned then, so we do want to pray for him and pray for the rest of your family as well. For Hatton Rebhart, that he went